Here we are.
The New Spins Library.
Here we are. The New Spins Library.
Hey, Montreal. It's a great day out there. Let's get ready for a fantastic show. We'll open the show today with some news headlines by Alice Wu, followed by the interviews. We have a music magazine show to offer you in the first hour, with an arts and culture shorty popping up in the second hour. The first interview is with J.P. Mortier. J.P. is releasing a preview song from his seventh album and announcing the name of the album at La Sala Rosa Thursday night. The second interview is with Val Thomas. Val Thomas is exploring new music. The third interview is with the Daydreamers. Their name just came to them. 8 o'clock brings Democracy Now!, 8:15 brings weather, and after some news you can use, we'll visit the podcast called In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, where this week's question is, how does Wi-Fi work? After some more music, we'll wrap up the show. Let's start the day off with some music.
Yeah. Richard Chenier, and you're listening to the New Spins Library on CKUT.
My name is Alice Wu, and here are some of the recent headlines. On Friday, the U.S. Supreme Court overturned the landmark case Roe v. Wade. This means the American federal government no longer recognizes a constitutional right to abortion. In response, hundreds of Quebecers wore black and protested in front of the Montreal courthouse on Sunday afternoon. And the Cree Nation of Chisasabi announced that it would launch the first investigation into residential school graves in Quebec. Two residential schools operated on the nation's territory from 1933 to 1981. And this summer, six emergency rooms across Quebec will be reducing their operating hours and will have to turn away ambulances. The affected regions include Lachine in Montreal. The partial closures are due to staff shortages, with 59,000 missing or absent healthcare workers across Quebec.
The New Spins Library on CKUT.
J.P. Mortier is a singer, songwriter, and artist from Montreal. His style and sound lies somewhere between Nick Cave, David Bowie, and Leonard Cohen, backed by the sonic power of a Pink Floyd Radiohead hybrid. After six albums and five Canadian tours, JP's seventh album is on the way for 2022. With us today, we have J.P. Mortier. Hi, J.P., and welcome to the show.
Hello, Sheila. Thank you very much.
First, please introduce yourself and tell us how you came to develop your unique musical sound.
My name is J.P. Mortier. I've been writing music for many years now. Even when I was a kid, I had ideas in my head. And I grew up listening to those people you've just mentioned, as well as a lot of bands. I grew up listening to classic rock and then indie rock. And I added some blues, I added jazz, and I added all sorts of stuff over the years that became part of my arsenal, if you want to put it this way. And I kind of blend all that, and that's how it comes out. And it's obviously my voice. I'm somebody with a deep voice, so that's why I kind of sound like a Bowie or Jim Morrison or Peter Murphy, if people are into 80s music, that kind of stuff. And it's kind of became who I am. So it's all a blend of a lot of this stuff, basically.
What is your formal musical background?
I'm a late bloomer, just about everything. I was the last guy to learn how to ride a bike and all this. And I got a guitar when I was 14 for Christmas. And I thought I'd be like Hendrix right away. And it turned out to be not so good at first. And I went through rather phases of let me try this and guitar teacher here, guitar teacher there. And then I got really lucky. I was taking guitar lessons at this little music store at Carrefour Laval. And this guy called Stefan tells me, hey, instead of paying $20 for a half hour and learning a couple of songs, you can come over to my place. It'll be $20, but it'll be an hour. And we can jam and show you some stuff. I said, sure. And I was so glad that I did that, because he turned out to be the best teacher I've ever had. And he unlocked that key, because I knew I had music song ideas in my head when I was a kid, but I never could get them out of my head. And with him, he had like this key that just unlocked it. And the timing was great because at the time I was between CGIP and university, and I had to wait like 8 months because I had finished CGIP in December and I could only apply to come in September. So I had a whole 8 months where I started having weekly lessons with him, and it just happened that in those 8 months, by the end of those 8 months, I was writing songs. And that is my music training.
What is the name of your new album, and what can we expect of album number 7?
Oh, well, you're going to have to come to that show on June 30th, because I will reveal, I've told my fans that I would reveal the name of the album at the show. So I'm playing at Sala Rosa Thursday, June 30th, which is tomorrow. And I will be revealing that info to my fans first. So you've got to come to the show. But as soon as it's after that, I'll have it on my social media, my website, that the name of the album. And that album is going to be, I had written, just about all of the material was written before the pandemic. And at the time, I thought it was going to be like very different from my previous album, which is Nation of Iron, which is an album of that had a lot of political and social issues with it. But the pandemic kind of had its footprint on it. So it turns out to be a bit of a mix of, there's a little bit of more political social content that I thought I would have. So there's a bit of that, but it's also some personal relationship songs. And it's, let's just say that I'll give you a clue about the name of the album. It's got a very inclusive title. So it's got an inclusive title.
An inclusive title. Okay. Well, then to find out what the title of that album is, tell us again, where do we go?
All right. So I'm performing at Sala Rosa Thursday, June 30th. Doors open at 7. I have an opening act. Her name is Kimberly Bourgeois, but I'm going to know very last minute. Last week, she had tested positive for COVID.
Oh, I'm sorry. I hope she gets well soon.
But she told me she wants to do the show, and it's just after her isolation period.
Okay.
So I fingers crossed that she is going to be doing it. She actually did background vocals for me in the past, and I know her very well. She's very, very good. Her name, Kimberly Bourgeois, again. And then I'll hit the stage with my musicians after that. I'm going to do about 15 or so songs, and it's going to be a good time because it's my first show in 3 years with my whole band together. We haven't played in like 3 years together because, as you know, that thing that's been hitting us for a couple of years now.
You brought a couple of singles with you today. What is the story behind By the Light of the Moon?
By the Light of the Moon. So that is a bit of an arc of songs that were inspired by women in my life. I have a vision. By the Light of the Moon, there's this girl I went out with many years ago. I was in school. I was young. She was young. And I kind of fell in love while we were parked in front of her house. And it was late at night. And it was this light shining her face, and I think it was just a street light, but I think being the romantic that I am, I thought it was the moon. So that's where that title comes from. When I wrote the song many years after that, but I kind of remembered that moment. And at the time I was reading a book, I think it was Paul Theroux, who wrote books about traveling by train in Asia. And at the time, I was reading the chapter where I was in India. So I put some references to Indian geography. So I mentioned Simla, I mentioned Bombay, the Bengal Bay, monsoon. So I kind of gave a little color to that song.
Maybe hear some of your music.
Great. That'd be great.
This is By the Light of the Moon on the New Spins Library.
Thank you. sight of the moon. Wait until the day turns blue. Nightfall will be coming soon. I'll wait for the light of the moon. Wait for the light in your eyes. Shine through the eastern skies. Similar life beyond the rise. I'll wait for the light in your eyes. Someday I'll find the strength to do what I must do. Someday I'll find the courage to say much I love you. I'll wait for the break of day to declare what I must say. Dawn will rise upon Bay. I'll wait for the break of day. Someday I'll say I love you like I meant to do. And one day I'll say I love you. Will it be with you? With you?
You're going to be back on stage very soon with your first live stage show in 3 years. Yay, let's hear it again. Yeah. So tell us all about it. Once more, tell us all about it.
Oh, well, it's going to feel good to be playing with my buddies again. Last time we played together was 3 years ago. It was the launch to the Nation of Iron, and we haven't played on stage since. I've actually done shows because I did a tour in Western Canada in for the fall of 2019. But when I play outside of Montreal, Ottawa, I play solo acoustic. I play small bars, cafes, and venues. So if the financial compensation is modest, then I do it solo acoustic. It's just a question of logistics, really. Just happy to be playing in front of my fans again after all this time. And it's going to be here.
It's going to feel good.
Yeah. I will be playing at least one song from the new upcoming album, too. Probably the encore, the last song will be one of them.
Fantastic. We all look forward to getting in for free.
Yeah.
You brought another single with you today called Sons of Steel. What is this song about? And what was the process you went through recording and producing it?
All right, so that one is on Nation of Iron, and like I said, Nation of Iron is very political, social content. It's actually the first song on the album, too, and it's a song about our relationship with technology. Sons of Steel, so talk about social media, how it's become a great tool for reaching out to people, but at the same time, we've double-edged sword, and we're also slaves to it, so little song about that. And that song has some great saxophone playing from Beth McKenna. She's a jazz sax player. And she's performing. I'll give a little boost for her. She's performing at a jazz festival on July 4th, one of the free shows outside. And she's one of the upcoming jazz artists in this country. She's really, really good. So she plays sax on that album, that on that song. And she plays on other songs on the album too. That song also has a very nice bass riff from my friend Sylvain Auclair. And it's a very nice driving tune.
May we hear some more of your music?
Yes, of course.
This is Sons of Steel on CKUT.
Steel, provide you content. Do you really
If our listeners want some free listening time or to buy your albums or event tickets, where should they go?
Just search J.P. Mortier, M-O-R-T-I-E-R, on YouTube, I'm on Spotify, I'm on Deezer, I'm on SoundCloud, I'm on a whole bunch of platforms. You could choose whatever you prefer or subscribe to. And if you buy, I appreciate that people buy that. It's very good. You can buy on cdbaby.com. I got my stuff parked there. You can also get back to me through my website, jpmufti.com. I'll be happy to send you a copy for price of album plus shipping. And if that's if, because I do have physical, and also download, also, you know, I'll be happy to send it to you even personally.
Thank you for your interview today.
Thank you, Sheila. I'll just add again, like my show is Thursday, June 30th at Sala Rosa. Oh, there's tickets. You can go on Sala Rosa Casa del Popolo's website, and you can buy tickets online for that show.
How much are the tickets going to cost for this one?
It's $15 in advance. On Sala Rosa, it's $15 plus their whole service tax, which comes up to $17-something or $18. It's $20 at the door.
You have been listening to J.P. Mortier speaking about his music and his upcoming concert. I am your host, Sheila Ferrando.
Thank you very much, Sheila. It's been wonderful. And thank you for everybody listening at CKUT.
It's on CKUT where the new spins beat. Liberate, we probably the true meaning of libraries. The world out some station for the community that news, arts, and culture shape our intellectuality. Releasing these new spins, sharing these bright grins. Wednesday morning, 7 to 9 on 90.3 is where it's happening. Tune in, the tunes are in tune, and with some interviewing, the new spins library Wednesday, 7 a.m. is broadcast. It's the new spins library. The new spins library. The new spins library. The new spins.
3 months after the release of her most recent single, Last Drop, Val Thomas returns with her new EP, Hymnal, due out June 17th. The single, Mercy, will come out on the same day and will be accompanied by an official music video. With us today, we have Val Thomas. Hi, Val, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Sheila. Thanks for having me.
First, please introduce yourself and tell us how your religion influences your work.
Thanks, Sheila. So I'm a singer-songwriter based in Montreal. I love to write folk songs and ballads. And in terms of the religion, I guess I'm not a particularly observant or religious person, but I did grow up in a religious home. It always, I guess in many ways, it cultivated a sense of curiosity for how we make and give meaning to our lives. Because it was, you know, all around me, I was kind of always questioning what were we doing? Who are we talking to? And we, you know, went to church. What was all this about? And I actually studied religion in university to look at these questions and I guess to go deeper in those beliefs. I suppose it impacts my music in different ways and probably ways that I still don't understand. But I think it's a way of listening. I guess growing up that way made me introspect in different ways, and it made me listen to, I guess, what we can't see. And I guess I have that type of curiosity and that type of listening that when I make music, for me, it's about connecting with what I can't necessarily see. So I guess that's what the best way I could answer that question at this moment.
If your work is not influenced by religion, but serves to give you an output for your spiritual expression. Mm-hmm. Why did you call it Hymnal? Why do you have a song called Mercy?
Good question. And I guess those words are the vocabulary I grew up with. So it's the words that I know, which are deeply entrenched in religious traditions. And I guess Hymnal for me is, I like to kind of translate those themes or those words into what can also be secular experiences. And a hymn, you know, traditionally is a work, a poem or a song that accompanies sometimes a ritual, and rituals accompany these transitions that we have. So for me, I guess at this moment, writing those songs were in a way like a ritual to kind of get through these crazy transitions that we were in. And I guess what I have at my disposal or in my imagination are these religious references without necessarily meaning that they're tied down to a specific tradition. I guess it's just the words that I have at the moment.
Where did you learn how to play music?
I actually learned, I had a pretty bad knee injury between high school and CJEP. I used to be a big sports kid. I was playing soccer and basketball every single day. And then I messed up my knee pretty bad and had to get surgery. And I was kind of bedridden for a few months. And after, I had to have crutches and all kinds of interventions and things. So being in bed a lot and being that age with lots of energy, I guess feeling a sense of longing for wanting to get out there, I had to put my energy in something. And I had been writing poems since I was a kid. So I thought, well, why don't I try to put some melodies on these poems? And a friend of mine gave me his guitar, and I just kind of taught myself some, you know, the C, G, D chords and tried to make songs with that. And then I realized, oh, I could write a song with three chords. If I put my heart into it, it communicates something. And then my friends encouraged me to keep going. And so I guess it became a practice for me and something that I found so much joy in. And so I just kept doing it. I still miss playing sports, but it's another nice outlet.
What would your audience think of your upbringing? How did your parents change the way you thought?
Oh, again, probably in some ways that I still don't understand, but my parents are both immigrants from two different countries. My dad from Portugal, my mom from Egypt, and they're very hardworking, pretty strict. And I guess that gave me a certain work ethic or a certain way of persevering with whatever I put my mind to. And I think they communicated and transmitted that to me while also exposing me to these very different cultures. And I think further harnessing my curiosity and my interest in what's different and what's not. Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't always make sense, you know, to have parents from two different countries, and it can create a clash, but I guess it also comes with its positive aspects. It opens us to that diversity. And I guess a little side note is my dad gave me a record collection when I was just entering CJEP. So when my knee was all messed up, and it had all the 70s classics. So I just remember listening to Seals and Crofts, these records that none of my friends really listened to. And I found great comfort in those folk songs. I also like to listen to Sade and Motown and I guess all these more unusual things a young, you know, teenager / young adult would listen to. So, yeah, I guess it just opened me to being different and just doing my own thing.
What is the significance of producing a hymnal at this time?
I guess it comes back to what we were discussing earlier in terms of at this time, I guess, is interesting and challenging time where we're coming out of something that felt, I think, surreal for most of us and felt disorienting. And I guess, again, with those references that I have, I tried to make sense of it with these songs to mark different times. I don't know for you, Sheila, if you experienced it that way, but it felt like time became this weird abstract thing. And all of a sudden we was summer 2021 and we're like, whoa, well, and then summer, you know, and then Christmas again in 2020. And it was all a big blur. I felt that I needed those rituals or whatever of writing those songs to put some anchors down during that period. And I guess that's why I called it hymnal also at this time, to mark those transitions, I guess.
May we listen to some of your music?
Yes.
This is Last Drop on the New Spins Library.
Thank you. been down to my last drop. I was living in the dark, and I reached the top. It's time for me to move on. I need to hear new words. I'm looking for feelings that won't burn me. I'm gonna heal. I'm gonna heal this hurt with a little harmony. Myself apart from the ones that harness the heart. I've been holding on to what goes, looking for light in the shadow.
Last Drop is your last single before the release of your EP Hymnal. What is the story behind this song?
Last Drop, actually, it's about, it was one morning I woke up and I had this feeling of, you know, when you feel like you've had your last, it's the last thing that makes it tip over, or the last drop that tips over, you know, the glass full of water, creates the overload or the overflow. And I guess for me, it was representing that needing to change my way of thinking, that it wasn't working anymore. Those old patterns were not necessarily working. I needed to hear new words. You know, we hear that in the chorus. I need to hear new words. It was about looking for those new words and those new horizons and coming back to the heart, which is, I think, a challenge. So that's kind of what Last Drop is about.
May we hear some more of your music?
Yes, ma'am.
This is Mercy on CKUT.
Again, yeah. I've been feeling lonely.
If our listeners want more information, some free listening time, or to buy your music or event tickets, where should they go?
On my website, www.valthomasmusic.com.
Thank you for your interview today.
Thanks, Sheila. Thanks so much.
You've been listening to Val Thomas speaking about her music. I am your host, Sheila Ferrando.
Whose data? Our data. When you're not paying for a product, you are the product. Especially in web and email services, where multinationals compete to manage your communication so they can make a profit off of the private communication you are producing. Coombit is a worker cooperative trying to help small organizations or individuals get their email, website creation, and website hosting services off corporate services such as Google. For more information, contact us at coombit.org or email at info@coombit.org. That's K-O-U-M-B-I-T. We are not on Facebook.
The Daydreamers have been touring and doing TV shows since 2019. Today, they have a new single called Only a Kid. With us today, we have Ali Khoury and Stephanie Mayer. Hi, Ali and Steph, and welcome to the show.
Hi. Hi, so happy to be here.
First, please introduce yourselves and tell us how you came to be musicians and how each of you joined the band.
So my name is Ali. I am the singer-songwriter guitarist for the band, and I actually formed the band with our violinist Tiana back in 2013, so we were just in high school.
My name is Steph, and I actually joined the band a little later on when we were all in CJEP. I actually saw an ad that was posted on the billboard at John Abbott. They were looking for a new singer to join the band because they had lost their bassist / third vocal. So when I saw the ad, I auditioned, and actually I added the keyboards to the band as well as a third vocal.
How did each of you become musicians? How did you learn to play?
I've been playing since I was about 4 years old. My parents put me in piano lessons when I was a kid. Started guitar around 12, and my dad was always, he loved music all his life, and he sings, he loves to play, so we used to jam together, and we both started a band at the same time, which was pretty fun.
Actually, me too. I get my music from my dad. It was always from him that I got this passion. Always liked singing, and he always encouraged me. In the beginning of high school, I started taking piano lessons, which is how I got that talent for bringing the keyboard into the band.
Why the name The Daydreamers? How did you come up with that one?
To be honest, it was kind of a bit of a last minute decision because we had entered a local battle of the bands and they needed a band name. And Tiana and I always had this running joke that we were always daydreaming in class. We were good students, but we still, we spent a lot of time daydreaming and kind of doodling in the back of the classroom, I guess. So the name just kind of really stuck. It felt right at the time. And, you know, it's been here for now for the last 8 years.
So who is in the band and what does everyone play or do?
So we like to say that we're a female fronted band because it's me, Ali, and Tiana, who are, of course, the three vocals. But we each have our own instrument as well. So I have the keys, Ali has her guitar, Tiana has the violin, and then we have the two boys in the back. But they're still as present in the music, of course. So we have Cedric on drums, and we have Lou on bass. So we really, when we play and when we write music, actually, it's really a collaboration of all five instruments.
You have a brand new single called Only a Kid. What is the story behind this song?
I like to say it's about growing pains, the realization that mistakes are part of growth and learning to forgive yourself for those mistakes and things that you might be ashamed or embarrassed about. It's a song that for me is really built on tension, both musically and lyrically. I wrote part of it through a feeling of, I guess, discontent with myself at that present time when I wrote it. And another part of that song was kind of a message for my future self. So there's sort of this battle between like the different versions of myself. The instrumental outro is my favorite part of the song. Our drummer Cedric, he really brought that to life. He came up with it, and it was really fun to work out the idea as a band, kind of challenging each other with our own instruments and our ways of playing together. It really feels like kind of a moment of extreme tension in the song, building up from, you know, the verses and the chorus, and kind of this equally grand release at the end.
Your latest single, Only a Kid, is being marked with a brand new video. What was the process you went through producing this video?
So we filmed the video last summer. The idea had kind of been brewing for a while. It was during the pandemic when, you know, it was always up in the air when we could see each other, when we could get together. So we had just finished recording the song, and I decided to go up north with my cousins and my mom to my aunt and uncle's cottage to film the video. It's like a remote island, a remote house on its own little island. My little cousin, Mia, she plays the younger version of myself. And it was really special to create that moment with her because she's like a sister to me. So it felt right to have her in there. I wanted to kind of capture this duality that I feel is present in the song, kind of this, like I said, internal conflict between the part of you that feels really insecure and unsure of yourself, kind of paralleling with that voice of reason telling you it's okay to be where you are, it's okay to fall, it's just important to get back up and keep going. I spent the last few months editing the video, and I found that process of making the video really helped me gain a sense of clarity on the song. I think sometimes you write about a feeling because it seems so grand and maybe you don't really understand why it's important or you can't necessarily explain it in a larger context. But in editing, I kind of saw the bigger picture of what I was writing about and what I was trying to hold on to. So that was a really nice experience.
May we hear some of your music?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, definitely. Let's go.
This is Only a Kid on the New Spins Library. Who were the producers you worked with, and how did you like working with them?
So we worked with Dave Traina. He's the drummer of The Damn Truth, and he also co-owns the recording studio Freak Shop. And we've worked with him on our last album, so our second album, Forever Again. We did the whole album there.
And we really liked the experience, so we decided, why not continue with him for the four new songs? So it's not just only A Kid that we did with him, but we did our last few singles with him as well.
May we hear some more of your music?
Yeah, of course.
Definitely.
This is Carried Away on CKUT.
So tell me why you choose to fade away. I know it's hard to stay afloat. How do you feel about sailing away? Pack your bags. We'll go on an adventure now. Sometimes
if our listeners want some free listening time or to buy your music, where should they go?
We're pretty much on all streaming platforms, but if you'd like to buy our music, we're also on Bandcamp and Apple Music. We also have albums that you can purchase if you come to some of our shows. So we definitely have the physical copies as well. You can also support us by buying our merch online. We actually did quite well during the pandemic, so we have that available. We're also on Instagram, we have our Facebook account, and I think the best way to contact us or to see what we're doing is to go on Spotify.
Or our website as well,
thedamtruth.ca.
Well, thank you for your interview today.
Thank you so much for having
me. Thank you so much.
You have been listening to The Daydreamers speaking about their music. I'm your host, Sheila Ferrando.
I'm Where Is Luna, and you are listening to The New Spins Library on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Hi, Hi, I'm Amy Goodman. Democracy Now! Is committed to bringing you the stories and perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. From the peace activists demanding an end to war, to indigenous leaders fighting to stop fossil fuel extraction and save the planet. Our independent reporting is only possible because we're funded by you, not by the weapons manufacturers when we cover war or gun violence, not by the oil, gas, coal, or nuclear companies when we cover the climate crisis. We count on your generous support to keep Democracy Now! Going. Please make your donation of $5, $10, or more at democracynow.org. Every dollar counts. Thank you so much. We're counting on you. Stay safe. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
So the plight of migrants seeking refuge is always a humanitarian crisis, but tonight we are dealing with a horrific human tragedy.
At least 46 people have been found dead inside a sweltering tractor trailer abandoned in San Antonio, Texas. 16 survivors, including 4 children, have been hospitalized. We'll speak to Fernando Garcia, founder of the Texas-based Border Network for Human Rights. We'll also look at the ongoing fallout from the Supreme Court's overturning of Roe. Then, is raising